Prepare to be astonished.
It's that time again.
Let's get started.
From the Clatsop County Historical Society, an adventure in history with Matt Burns and Alana Quila.
You should never be allowed to talk to people.
Some people without brains do an awful lot of talking.
And now, with today's adventure, it's Mac and Alana.
Welcome to An Adventure in History. We're so glad you joined us, and we are going to step outside the frame tonight, Mac.
Oh, that was slick.
Was that good?
That's why you're the professional. And
was that good? Yeah. And we've got some young artists with us to talk about their talents and a program that's going to come up right at the Liberty Theater this week.
This Friday.
Oh, this Friday.
I'm Neely Osha, and I'm the executive director of Outside the Frame.
And we've had you on here before, but we've got some new faces we're going to meet.
I'm Carmelo Sherristeel. I am the director of Geneva, and I have an acting part at the end.
Hey, I'm Monet Wilds, and I played the lead actress, Carmen, for Geneva.
We've started the Oregon Film Museum. This will be the third year we've presented the Selig Award to a young filmmaker that we think have a bright future in filmmaking. We think you've shown some talent and promise, and we want to encourage that. A third award winner for the Selig Award that will be presented this Friday night
is Carmelo Sherristeel, also known as Melo. This was a film that was made during the 2025 Outside the Frame Filmmaking Intensive Program. It's Melo's first time working with Outside the Frame. It's really a neat program that brings together all sorts of artists and actors in the Portland community.
It's the dream of what the Oregon Film Museum can do, a small portion, but Outside the Frame has been doing it 100% amazing. So Melo, tell us a little bit about how you got involved and what Outside the Frame is.
How I got involved was I was at a different program called Outside In. A staff member who worked at both Outside and Outside the Frame told me about this program where they make movies. I had some filmmaking people in my family friend circle, and so I'd always wondered about it. And so we invited me to come to their day drop-in. And so that's how I started out here. It was really cool. Everyone was really welcoming. They had a whole wall of snacks. That's probably what snagged me in and that helped me stay. I wasn't able to go to their first intensive that I'd heard about, but I knew it was on my radar to go to when I like figured my stuff out, got myself on a good path. And so when I came around the next year, I was like, oh yeah, absolutely. I cleared up everything. It was worth it, like worth every, like all of it. Just the connections I made, the creative ideas I was able to like see and get inspired from by everyone who participated. It was really just an honor. So I think OTF is just a really good service that provides like a little bit of glimpse of what life could be for these kids out here who may not be able to see it. Provides a little look into what life could really be like, you know, if you really want to pursue a passion.
So you get there. How do you get started? What do you do first?
So I got here and then I just filled out a little bit of paperwork, like kind of like a get to know you sheet, lays out what they do here, what this program is. They pretty much show me exactly like how to start making a movie with different like shots, teaching you the different camera angles, just kind of like already putting your ideas onto paper, which is pretty cool because like I would only been there for like an hour and they already delved into the movie making process.
And did you go in thinking about the movie that you ended up making, Geneva? Was that already in your head of this is a story I'd like to tell?
No, that one came later. I kind of went in there thinking like, oh, I want to make like something like action or adventure or like a music video or something like not mindless, but not something that was like supposed to tell like a important story. The idea for Geneva, that came later when I was like racking my mind. It also came with a little bit of the situation that I'm living with, like just like between peers and like how life goes, how sometimes we forget that like we're like really on the same side when we need some, like sometimes a third party to remind us of that.
Monet, tell us a little bit about your involvement. Then with the two of you, explain the story behind Geneva.
When I first came to Portland in downtown, I met Melo pretty early on in that process, but I didn't know what Outside the Frame was for a while. It wasn't until around the time where they were starting to prepare for this spring's intensive that I started to get a little bit more information about Outside the Frame and what they do via word of mouth. Mello encouraged me to apply for the intensive. So I was like, why not? It sounds great. It sounds really fun. I was like, oh, this could be a really, really fun opportunity for me to learn a lot about an industry that I have no scope to even fathom.
As you began to learn a little bit about the industry, what appealed to you about it? You know, is this something that you think could be a lifelong thing for you, or just something, okay, you did it and you're interested, it was a fun experience and you're done?
I'm going to carry with me, they call it a bug around here, the film bug. I feel like I'm going to carry that with me definitely for the rest of my life in many different capacities. That's one of the hugest things that I've learned while being here, is that you can be just as involved in the filmmaking process in any capacity, whether you're on the screen, behind the camera, running audio, running lighting, screenwriting, storyboarding, all of it. It all takes a lot of work and it's all equivalent to the process. I feel that when a lot of people think about the industry of filmmaking, they only equate it to Hollywood. That's so inaccessible, or like that's something that I could never do. I couldn't be Zack Snyder. I couldn't be Tim Burton. I couldn't be Miley Cyrus. Like, you think of like the big names and the big people, but it takes so much more than just the people that we're exposed to every day. The, for lack of a better term, like poster children of film. That's a really, really nice takeaway from Outside the Frame. Outside the Frame does a really, really great job of like making sure that their youth understand that they can take what we learn from here with us. Like, it's all in our hands. It could be very simple. That was really nice, really reassuring.
That was such a great explanation, and so passionate and so wonderful about what Outside the Frame is and what it means to people like you. So the two of you, Alana asked, but the two of you, talk about this film, Geneva.
Yeah, so how it came about, here I am in this program for like homeless youth. I'm just looking around, I'm like, what could like actually speak to everyone? And I started to think about like, if someone asks for help, that's usually the first step. That's how I was able to find this amazing program. Like, I was able to ask for help. And so I'm thinking about that. So I'm like, okay, so I have this person in a food line looking for assistance, and then someone like who would never ever need a food line being inconvenienced by it. That's how it started. Just the way they would interact, how it would start. I had like a pretty broad idea. I worked with one of the amazing volunteers here to like narrow it down to something more realistic. So I came up with, like, in my head, where do people find the most common ground? Oh, restaurants, right? If you like to eat the same thing, like, that's a very like big, important common interest. And so, like, no matter what your other views are, you have like that one basic need, that one basic necessity, and like your one basic preference for it. So I'm like, okay, so that could easily bring two people together from like wildly different walks of life. And yeah, so that's how it started. And then I was just thinking, I'm like, okay, well, I want it to be like show more than it tells. Like, have moments of like levity to like let it breathe and see just like the contrast of experiences between like two worlds. Cause I feel like people can mask really well. During a long time of my like houselessness, you couldn't tell I was homeless. So that was like the main hidden scene I wanted in Geneva, was to be like the end scene. She's like well-spoken, you know, she's got a job, she's working, she looks put together, like she still has nothing. And you can still like have all those qualities you would think would just be in someone who like was privileged their whole life. I just wanted to put that on the screen.
So do you think these two characters would have had the conversation they had if they just walked into each other on the sidewalk?
Probably not on the sidewalk. Having it being an enclosed area, having to sit there and like eat, gave them time. In fact, having it on the sidewalk is more like passed by, you know, I mean, yelled after, and they don't really stop to think and to like chat with each other and really see what's up, like maybe find that common connection. It can happen.
And Monet, as being part of that creative process as the actor in this situation, what did you do, or how did you take sort of the subtlety of the message that was still very powerful?
I took a lot of direction from Mello himself, just making sure, hey, is this the delivery that you wanted? Does there need to be a little bit more oomph here? Do you need it to be more like quiet here? Is this more of like a reflective moment? Mello's humble as heck, so he won't ever like Lord himself, but let me make your head big for a second. This guy's brilliant because he actually made a very big point that in this film, Solomon very specifically points at a seat for Carmen to sit at. Mm-hmm. Because Solomon is that facilitator. He is that third party that is bringing them together, and he's trying to do it very intentionally. That actually took a couple takes to make sure that that came through well, that defining moment where Carmen is not the type of person that would actually like to interact with this guy. She's got her judgments and her reservations already set up, but because she has this respect for Solomon, she will then, by association, allot a certain amount of respect to his wishes and what he thinks might be best for her, even if she's tired and she just came off of a day of work and she's already seen enough tech bros in her life or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the same with Tom, of course. You know, he's not trying to have a conversation with her. In early production, we filmed a couple takes where Solomon was supposed to physically close Tom's laptop as like a sort of signifier of like, nah, dude, we're in this. Like, you're in this. Lock in. But of course, for like time and then also just like clarity purposes and trying to like make every take as clean as possible, that ended up not being in the final cut. Mello really had it figured out. Like, he knew exactly how he wanted to portray it. He knew how he wanted it to go. I mean, he didn't do it all by himself, but he really saw the heart for this film and wanted to make sure that in every movement, every look, every gesture, that it was just ringing that feeling of like, yeah, these two people are like the polar opposite ends of magnets. They don't want to be there. All it takes is one third party to flip those magnets. And suddenly, look at that. They get along.
I'm glad you said that, because as I was watching, I was like, this Solomon guy, he's doing this on purpose. He's got something in mind here. He wants these two to talk. So do you think they ever talk again, Mello?
I wanted to leave it open. I guess a little bit heady of me, but I just wanted to be like, y'all decision. What would I have done in that same position? Would I want to see someone like that again? Someone who I changed my mind or something, would I want to see them again?
I think Tom's showing up again and hoping he sees her. He's not going to order the spicy stuff again.
So what's next? What do you said you have so many takeaways from this experience. What do you want to do next with this?
If I were to come back and make a movie with OTF again, I would, I'm attracted to flash and flare. As much as I like the feathers, I just like the actual contents underneath. Probably on something on the same, like, an experience from my life told in a different way. The next one might be a little bit more, like, quirky, I would say, because I think that'd be fun for me to work on. Yeah, I definitely want to come back and do something cool in the future with this program. Like, I'm really excited.
Would you tell a little bit about your journey to here?
I started out in Haiti. I was still a baby, like 1 year old when I left. So it left this imprint on me, like birth defects and lasting diseases, all that good stuff, right? From being like born in an orphanage. I went from that to Utah. So that was quite a bit of a shift. But like, I was a baby, so it wasn't too bad, I guess. Growing up in Utah was definitely interesting. Definitely, if I'm being honest, a bit of a homogenous population over there. So leaving Utah and then going to Cleveland, Ohio, it's just like the homogeneity was in a bit different, a bit switched, right? You can see it come out in like different ways. Just going from like raised one way to like 18 and then like switch right over and being like basically having to come up another way to like make it through. And I never experienced homelessness over there in Cleveland. I was like on the brink, so I ended up coming back to Utah. That I did end up becoming homeless soon after I came back. Me and my mom had a bit of a disagreement. And I guess we both agreed it would be best if I left. I think that like started a year where I didn't have a place I could call my own. 6 solid months of like actually on the street. What's that been like? That's probably where I took the biggest like chunk for Geneva, was from me being on the street and then like having a job. And then maintaining an appearance. Like, I still hung out with, like, because it was, like, pretty fresh after high school. Hanging out with my high school friends and stuff. Like, acting like I still live in the city. And even though I'm, like, I'm sleeping outside in a sleeping bag underneath a Mormon church for, like, months at a time. And then I was still hanging out with them. And people had no idea. Unless I told them, they had, like, no idea. I got to a point where I kind of snapped. And I was kind of at the end of my rope. And everything was just going downhill. And I could really see my life, like, going to its ending quite quick, if I'm being honest. Literally made it, like, the right call at the right time to the right person, I guess. I was able to get myself off the street and into a sober home. So I was like in the, one of those for like 6 months, ended up moving out, lived on my own for a year. I kind of maintained like rocky sobriety. I was like go through like months of being sober and then like binges. And then I ended up leaving Utah for a couple of reasons. I got caught up with the law, tried to go to college on my own, ended up dropping out of that. And my work was going bad and all that. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to like leave Utah, go closer to family. All my family left Utah. So I was actually going to go to Seattle. Another change happened, and I ended up moving to Portland. Just because, like, I've been here, like, 10 years ago when I was 12. I'm like, oh, I love this place. Oh. I want to come back. My mom was like, come back when you're older. So I did. And luckily, I did choose Portland because they have, like, a lot of services out here for homelessness and, like, impoverished people, which Utah does not have. And so, like, I ended up moving here. Like, I had an apartment and stuff, but I lost my job when I came here. I was supposed to come here somewhere else with someone else, but I didn't. And so I was not set up. And so that's how I kind of found myself in these programs, because, like, I got, like, an eviction notice, and I ran out of food. I was also involved in AA, and I ended up asking some AA people, and they directed me to, like, Outside In. So that's where I got the inspiration for Geneva, like, going to almost your roots to solve your problem, because since I was 18, I started with, like, AA and recovery type spaces, and that's who's really helped me so far in my life. Being able to go back to that when I, like, had nothing, I know I could go to one place and, like, I'd be taken care of. It was, like, a big inspiration. I really went downhill kind of in my own personal life, making really bad choices. So I decided to, like, check myself into treatment. Did that for a couple of months. Came out, did, like a long-term program with housing. Graduated that, and then moved to my own place. Got a job. Recently got a year sober last month. Life's still been, like, really heavy-cavey. Going through a bunch of different things. Overall, I feel like my life's been a net positive, and what's really has me like continuing on and thinking that it's still worth it, like to try no matter how many times, like life gets really sucky. It's just being able to do things like this, like make a movie. I never thought, never in my life, but I'd be making a movie with like my best friend and people like I met off the street who are like, I consider like my closest family. I never thought like in 1,000 years that would be happening. And I'm just really happy it did.
Well, and it's not just any movie. It's a movie with a very powerful message. So I do appreciate, especially as you said, you were thinking of leaning other directions. You have a message to share and you found a platform to share a message. So that's amazing. Good job and congratulations.
I am so looking forward to Friday night and presenting you with this award. You have an incredible story. You have an optimism about you that is infectious.
It really is.
And I think you have a lot more stories to tell. I'm looking forward to watching you tell those stories over the next decades.
And you'll be available for a meet and greet Q&A. Yeah. And Monet, will you also be joining as well?
Absolutely.
Great.
Outside the Frame, honestly, is it's kind of like a revolutionary program in this day and age of programs, not just because it gives homeless youth access to an extremely inaccessible industry, but because it's incredibly empowering on a multidimensional scope. Those dimensions including the food that they feed us, the time that they give us, the patience and the grace that they allot us on a daily basis. Outside the Frame is a place to work, and it always is. There's always work to do, but you will never, ever, ever be shamed or pointed out or in any way like made to feel guilty or wrong for wanting to come to Outside the Frame for someone to listen to you, for just a shoulder to cry on if you feel tired. Because as a homeless person, youth or otherwise, you're not allowed to sleep publicly. You're not allowed to do that. And that's a third of every human life. So it's just incredible the things that they do here for the youth in so many other ways than just the resources that they give us. And they even take it a step further by trying to connect us with actually long-term relationships within the industry. They encourage mentorships with people who partner with Outside the Frame, but are also professionals in their own personal capacity. And that is incredible for us, that that gets our names out there in an industry that, again, is so, so inaccessible, not just for homeless youth or homeless people at all, but for the fact that anybody, you know, it's that same equation to Hollywood, right? And all the glitz and the glamour and, you know, the feathers and the flair. That makes it incredibly disheartening to try and feel like you have any worth in a creative outlet. It's hard. You know, we live in kind of like a society nowadays where you say something like, oh, I want to pursue a music career, and the first thing that people would like to do is laugh. Or, oh, I would like to pursue a film career. They're going to laugh. And so this is a place to be taken seriously as not only a marginalized person, but as a person who is serious about pursuing a creative endeavor. That's kind of rare. You don't really get those spaces where you're taken seriously, but also given an amount of grace that makes you feel like a human being. And I feel like that's like terminally lacking in every homeless community. I would go as far to say is across our very beloved nation, is just being able to double grace for being a human being, but also productivity and genuine respect. And I feel like personally, as a homeless youth, I feel like that's what makes Outside the Frame such a standout program among all homeless youth programs, not just a creative one.
I am so amazingly inspired by your words, by this program. Every experience I've had, the couple of tours I've taken there, and everyone that I've met that's associated with it is just inspiring. Neely, in the little bit of time we have left, you have a knack of working with the most amazing young people, and tell a little bit about this, more about this organization, and how, more importantly, how people can support you.
I couldn't have said it any better, but I will try. Outside the Frame is a place where homeless and otherwise marginalized youth can come to find themselves again, to remember what they're worth as human beings and see a future. We do that through filmmaking, where the first point of entry is come and make personal films about whatever it is that you have in your heart. Young people on the streets don't have a lot of agency and choice in their life, and here they literally call the shots in their films. Completing a film is a Herculean task, and it's one that everyone wants to do, and very few do it, and they do. And they do it while faced with sleeping outside, sleeping in a shelter, you know, all the different hardships, and they do it like bosses. And then they can be connected to film industry jobs and kind of workforce training. But at its core, Outside the Frame is like a home base, a clubhouse for them to explore their creativity and their potential with people that have their back. And if you would like to have their back, find us at outsidetheframe.org. There's the donate button. There's all the films. If you're a creative, come and mentor the youth. If you would like to invite these amazing filmmakers to your community and host a screening and a Q&A, we love traveling and sharing the films, and the youth get paid for all of these opportunities. We also produce media for organizations that need it and want it. Those projects provide work experience for the young people alongside their professional mentors. We work with governmental, nonprofit, educational organizations. We're super excited to lead a workshop for the local middle and high school kids in Astoria. Mello and Monet and some of their colleagues are going to come and do a workshop where we're going to take them through the same exercises that they did on the first day, which is learning some of the lingo and some of the different shot types, and then going out and making a movie in an hour. It's the first spark. They made a 1-minute movie on day one, and on day 12, they'd made Geneva. And of course, getting to learn from young people who are only a few years older than yourselves is way cooler than learning from anyone else.
That's incredible. Yeah. So we're going to do that. You've done this with the Oregon Historical Society once, but I've wanted you to do it with us, and you are doing it with us. It'll be on Saturday. So right after Friday night, you come to the Liberty Theater and see the Seelig Award and watch some really great films. First 20 folks that sign up with us, middle school and high school kids, go to our website, historiamuseums.org, to sign up, and it's free. And you're going to have a great experience, and you're going to meet some professionals that are going to walk you through how to make a short film. So once again, Neil,
winning professionals.
That's right. Oh, my goodness. Of course. Please come out and support this great young filmmaker and these other young filmmakers that are fantastic. Show up at the Liberty Theater, 6 o'clock, doors open. The program starts at 7. You're going to see some great films. And we really appreciate everything you do. And you're going to be inspired if you come. Any one of these folks, you're going to chat with for a minute and you're going to walk away inspired. Your heart is going to burst. We're just so appreciative that you're doing what you're doing. So
thank you, guys.
Thank you. We'll see you Friday night.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks so much.
Go make some history. We'll catch you next week. Thanks for listening.
Thank you for joining us for an adventure in history. An Adventure in History is created and produced by the Clatsop County Historical Society and brought to you by KMUN. Please join us on Friday, November 14th at the Liberty Theater and support a young filmmaker when the Clatsop County Historical Society presents the 3rd Annual Seelig Award. Carmelo Mello Sherasteel, 23, was born in Haiti and lived in Utah and Ohio before coming to Portland. Geneva is his first film. The film was made during the Spring 2025 Outside the Frame Filmmaking Intensive Program. It's Mello's first time working with Outside the Frame. Mello had many big ideas for the film inspired by his life experiences. He worked with Outside the Frame staff to develop a realistic project showing two very different kinds of people finding common ground. Geneva references neutral ground, where people of different backgrounds can come together. The world is a mess, and it won't stop being a mess, but we can meet and enjoy being in peace together, in special places. Doors open at 6, and the presentation and films start at 7. The program will be completed by 8 o'clock. You'll be treated to 3 wonderful short films that will be followed by a Q&A with the filmmakers. The following day, on Saturday, November 15th, in partnership with Outside the Frame, the Oregon Film Museum will host a filmmaker workshop with their young filmmakers. The workshop is free and open to high school and middle school kids with an interest in learning more about filmmaking. There's only room for 20 participants, so sign up now by emailing info@historiamuseums.org or by calling 503-325-2203.